Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Maman.
And this is Grounded Geeks.
Where we make the geek world relevant, and my sister remembers the name of our show.
I almost said, and this is Squid Game, because that's what we're about to talk about. Yeah. Clearly, I'm just really excited to do an episode about Squid Game, which is apparently the most popular Netflix show ever.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
That was, I don't know. On the one hand, I'm like surprised, but also not surprised. I'm not surprised in the sense of, yeah, this was a damn good show, you uh-huh. know?
Yeah,
it was so good that even though it's not what would typically be called part of the geek world, we're like, yeah, we got to do an episode on this.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I would say it's part of the geek world because it's like Hunger Games set in present day.
Dystopian.
Yeah, I definitely would put it that. But it's very like very close to reality. We don't have.
Right.
We don't have to, you know, make a big stretch here to make this show relevant. Yeah. So
that's. True. But I am a little bit surprised that it has ended up as big as it has. Cause like, yeah, it's good, but
yeah, it's not
Avatar The Last Airbender.
It's not like amazing. Like it's not.
It's amazing.
No, it's good. Like, it's really
amazing,
good.
Amazing. Yeah. That's why it's kind of. Shocking to me.
When I think of. I think, you know, a lot of people when they hear like, oh, it's this show is amazing. It's but like they usually put shows like The Wire or Breaking Bad on there just because there's so many layers and levels to those kinds of shows and the characters and stuff going on. This one is fairly straightforward if you think about the story.
And it really in that sense. Yeah.
But it is very entertaining in the sense where you're kind of hooked, right? You want to know, you become invested in characters, you want to know what's going to happen. Okay, what is the next game going to be? What is that? So
I mean, there are some level of layers, but yeah, it's not
I'm not saying it doesn't have any layers. I'm just saying
it's not the tallest layer cake on the planet though when it comes to storytelling.
But
it was still really good. Maybe that is why it got as big as it is, because more people could digest it more easily.
Even though
then something like, I don't know, The Wire or
Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Breaking Bad, which I've not seen either of those.
Oh my God, I'm on
shows.
Wow.
I know.
You should really watch them. I had to stop watching Breaking Bad. I don't remember which season, but like, because it was too intense. I'm kind of depressed. So I need to switch to something lighter, but yeah, I think so. My theory as to, or I don't even know if this is my official theory, but a thought I have as to why it's so popular is because it does touch on, but probably the biggest theme of the show is the wealth gap and wealth disparity between different socioeconomic classes, specifically in South Korea for this show, right? But that is a huge issue, increasingly a big issue across many countries where the wealth gap is just becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, I mean, we've been hearing this like for decades now where it just, you can't get the same type of job that our parents or grandparents got just off of a, you know, high school diploma or a college degree. Now you need this many degrees and that and whatever. And, and it's just like, you know, like you can't even affording housing and stuff. Like that is a huge issue in South Korea right now. Like not everyone can just afford to buy a house. It's just not feasible for many, many people. And, you know, it's like a similar situation here. You know, like I think people could really relate to the fact that like, wow, you know, what would I do if someone was like, play some childhood games and you can win a shit ton of money, you know? And it's like, what does that do to a person when you've been living a certain quality of life?
You know, it also just while we're before we completely get off the topic of how big this show has gotten as quickly, I was just thinking there's something about South Korean entertainment where they seem to have figured out, I mean, not like somebody's planted in a back room or something, but they seem to have figured out a way to resonate with global audiences. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Parasite.
Yep.
And in general, K-pop having become the kind of global phenomenon that it is, you mm-hmm. know, I think BTS set some records on the Billboard charts or something I saw a little while ago. I mean, definitely have.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up in, you know, the 2000s, like if somebody was like, hey, Korean culture is going to take over, I would have been like, what are you talking about? You know,
yeah,
like Hollywood has become big, you know, China being as large of a country as it is. I was like, all right, you know, maybe something in Chinese culture or Japanese culture. But like for Korean culture to, in a sense, almost supplant Hollywood as a global influencer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I'm not actually going anywhere with this. Like, I find it fascinating. I find it interesting that like, what is that secret sauce, that je ne sais quoi that South Korea has, seems to have hit upon.
I think I was reading somewhere, I don't remember where, that literally the South Korean government has invested time and money and effort in building up their global image and building up whatever cultural ambassadors that they have, I think, around the world. I think they genuinely, like the government itself, I think, spends time on this
too. You know, I haven't come across any articles on that, but that makes total sense.
I will dig up articles and include it in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think because that also, it makes a lot of sense to me in the sense that development of soft power used to be an actual strategy that governments would use, and soft power being the cultural influences of your country. We used to do that in America. You know, there's a reason why we invested as strongly as we did in Voice of America. And we made a concerted effort to export Hollywood as a national policy. You know, I mean, what you're saying to me makes total sense. When national governments make an effort to develop their soft power and the influence of and develop the influence of their cultures, of their country's culture, it yields results.
Yeah.
Iceland turned it into a national project to build a world-class soccer team. And then a number of years ago, they came out of nowhere and got as far as they did in the FIFA World Cup.
Oh my God.
You know,
Everyone was rooting for them.
But like people wondered like what the heck, Iceland? Like, what do you mean Iceland? And I read some articles about it and they were like, yeah, they turned it into a national effort. And the country was small enough that coaches who were coaching elementary school soccer games knew the coaches of the high school, college, and more professional level teams as well. So they would identify the talent at like the grade school level and be like, hey, watch out for this kid. Watch out for this kid. And and they developed a world-class soccer team at lightning speed.
How nice to be so organized and have a unified vision. Wow. Amazing.
Wow.
Lacking in America. But
Wow.
going back to South Korea and them investing in their soft power, I find it kind of ironic because obviously now the two biggest pieces of content, at least on screen, like on in TV and theaters, that has come from South Korea in the past like 3 years is Parasite, the movie, and now Squid Game. And both of them talk about the wealth gap and the disparity, the wealth disparity between these classes. And you would think these are huge issues in South Korea, you know, like and people are struggling. You would think then that the government would also try to invest some more money in fixing the problems that these TV shows and movies are literally screaming about, you know?
I guess that also speaks to how much inequality and income inequality is a global issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a million statistics about the wealth and income inequality in America. You know, I think it's something that speaks to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there's just, we could just do a whole podcast just about this.
Actually talk about anything geek content.
I know, right?
So maybe we should actually talk about Squid Game now.
Right. So the actual show. First of all, who was your favorite character?
It's tough. It's actually tough for me. I was thinking the old man.
Same.
At first, but then...
And then he stabbed spoilers. Us all in the back.
Should we... It's a good spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Squid Game, go just stop this right now. Go see Squid Game.
Yeah.
All right. Because we're just going to ruin everything because I don't know how else to talk about it.
Yes. Obviously.
The old man was my favorite character. And then my heart went into turmoil when it was revealed that he's actually behind all of the death.
Yeah.
And murder.
Yeah. So I thought that was really it was a twist. I didn't predict it. I'm not necessarily very good at predicting things. And I kind of on purpose turn off that part of my brain so that I can just fully enjoy whatever show or movie I'm watching in the moment, unless it's like a murder mystery and they want you to think about whatever, you know?
Right. So like Knives Out.
Yeah. Which great movie. So when we got to the twist, I was like, I need more information here. First off, what the hell kind of reason is I was just rich and bored? Are you kidding me, man? Come on. Second, you keep mentioning, you have said now, I did not lie about my brain tumor. I still have that. I did not lie about my wife and son. You know, like they existed. Yeah. We did live on that street that I met, whatever. And where are they, bro?
Summers.
Why are you dying in an abandoned building? Hello?
Well, he is really, really old. It's possible they...
Bro. Come on.
Already died, and maybe his kid just hates him because his dad is a murdering shitbag.
I mean, fair. But why are you dying in an abandoned building?
I think he just owns the entire building.
No. Why wouldn't you want to be in like a mansion or any sort of house? accommodations.
Then you can't make bets with people on whether a drunk is going to die on the street or not.
Oh my God. He could have been living in a penthouse. That would have made more sense. Instead, it was an abandoned office building. I'm like, why are you here? You don't even go here.
I think it has to do with the anonymity thing, but I agree. The reasoning that was given for creating the game in the first place was weak in the show. All right.
Boredom
is not enough of a reason to not just create this game of murder, but actually fund it and pay the people who run the operations of it that they're not going to betray you and are totally A-okay with rampant killing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, why not?
I mean, there's a level of brainwashing involved here, you know? It's not enough. Yeah. You can't just pay mercenaries enough.
Right.
You know?
But, like, what is the motivation for killing anyone who loses these games? What is the motivation? Well, why can't you just be like, guys, I'm really sad and I'm old and I'm nostalgic for my childhood games. Come play with me and I will give you money if you win. And if you lose, you can just go home. Wouldn't that have solved his boredom?
having said now that his reasoning was weak, I do have to say that he does also fill that, like we were talking about before we started recording the episode, every single character represents a part of South Korean society, somewhere on the socioeconomic ladder, somewhere in the horizontal stratification of society. Mm-hmm. And the old man, in his reasoning, at the very least, does represent a caricaturization, I guess, of the super, super wealthy who seem to view everybody else as less than human.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. as, and you see that from the VIP episode as well, yeah. right? Where the Ugh. People who fly in from around the world to this island to, yeah. they really do think of, they don't see the participants of the game as fellow humans. They just don't.
Also, can we just talk about how terrible those actors were for the VIPs? Why were all of their lines were so cringy? I was like, who's writing this? This is bad. This is
probably
weird.
Because
it felt very
probably because it was
odd, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it's the same sort of thing that happens in English movies when writing foreign characters who are speaking in a foreign
probably.
Language.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But
the actors were
ago.
Bad too. I'm so sorry, but like y'all weren't good. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Because they're like the least important.
Yeah.
You're not exactly going to get Tom Hanks to play the rich Texan guy who wants to screw the mask drink servers.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that didn't bother me in the same sense that, like, if you look at any other, like, we were talking about the original Iron Man movie a number of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. we were talking about Jeff Bridges and the conversation that he has with the one terrorist guy who kidnapped Tony Stark, and the conversation they have in Urdu, the way it's written is yeah. super cringy.
Yeah.
I was just impressed with Jeff Bridges' accent. It was and pronunciation. It was a lot better than I was expecting. That's I would have
it was better than I was expecting, but I wouldn't say it was good. But yeah, better than I
was.
It expecting.
Was pretty decent. Coming from Jeff Bridges, I'm like, damn, bro, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
But the lines themselves and the dialogue yeah. itself was pretty lame. And it's the same sort of thing here. At the end of the day, this is a South Korean show. So all yeah. of the lines in English, right. all of the characters who are not Korean, mm-hmm. that is the foreigner
yeah
in that show,
right?
You know, yeah. so same problem.
Mm-hmm. yeah what was he gonna say?
We were talking about the stratification of society,
yes,
and how the old man represents rich people who don't think of humans as human.
Oh, I was gonna bring up another thing that I needed more information on was the whole storyline with the cop, and then
oh,
we
yeah.
find out the front man who is his brother. What the hell?
And so many plot holes there.
So many plot holes. So
with that particular
I was talking,
thread, yeah.
Right. I was talking to a friend and she thinks that the cop is still alive because we just see him fall off a cliff, but he could have survived. So
I guess he could have, but didn't he
yeah.
get shot in the head?
And no, he didn't get shot in the head. He got shot in the chest or shoulder,
chest
or something.
Okay, got
yeah.
it. Yeah, he yeah. could have survived.
Yeah. And I think the theories that are going around is that like the main character Gi-hun and the cop might team up in season two. I think there is I think season two is confirmed.
It's not confirmed yet.
Oh, it's not. Oh.
But Netflix would be stupid not to green light that.
Yeah, they're definitely going to green light it. Yeah. So that was like, I was like, what's going on? This doesn't make sense.
There's
sense.
So many things. There's so many things in that storyline that don't make sense. The cop's whole thread was initiated because he's looking for his brother.
Right.
All right. He goes to his brother's apartment, finds out from the landlady that he hasn't paid his rent and like his rent is late.
Yeah.
And you assume like based on that, you know, if rent is monthly, you know, okay. So he's been missing now for a few weeks, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
All right.
That was and my impression. It was like not over a month. You know, like,
yeah. And it was kind of a dingy, crappy apartment.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and the way that the inspector found that the box and the card in it. All right. If his brother really was the front man, why would he leave a glaring clue like that? Yeah. And if he was a past winner mm-hmm. of
Squid
these games
yeah.
from years ago, why was he living in that crappy apartment? Like
yeah.
they were trying to lead us in one direction to throw the audience off.
Yeah.
But then with the actual reveal,
they didn't explain it. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't match mm-hmm. up with the clues that were laid out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like it would have been fine if they eventually explained that, like, it's like a front, you know, he has as an apartment as a front, you know, so that
yeah.
people don't know he's rich or whatever, you know, like something. explain it. That was my
issue.
Also,
why wouldn't you have automatic payments set up to your landlady?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Come on.
There's so much. There's so much that's just not matching up here. So I mean, I really enjoyed the inspector's journey through the game. Mm-hmm. However, I'm also like, how the hell did you not get caught? Like repeatedly, again and again. How are you so bad at this, man? Why would you take over? Why would you wear the management mask with the square and not know what you're supposed to do, what your job is? Like, you're going to get caught so fast, bro.
I mean, to be fair, the whole Squid Game system for their workers is kind of dumb. And like, it's very easy to just sneak in and wear a mask and be like, yep, following orders, whatever.
But everybody gets scanned. Like, they have a whole scanning system. Why would you not just put a little chip as well where you scan the mask, but also make sure that the person underneath the mask is the right person?
But clearly, what was the point of the scanning? Because remember when the detective, inspector, dude, whatever, cop, when he goes into the room where they're like harvesting organs from bodies, they scanned his face and they're like, oh, number 29, where have you been? You know, like, they didn't recognize him still. That didn't make sense.
Yeah, that
I thought he was about to get caught right then and there.
Oh, yeah. And then also the fact that, like, he didn't know what he was. And as soon as they were like, what do you mean you don't know? You were there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was like, he's getting shot right now. This is the end of the story.
Yeah.
And then he didn't get shot.
Yeah. So those were a stretch the way he.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a stretch. I think after the old man. I think what was her name? The girl from North Korea.
Saibyeok.
North Korea. She, I think, was my other most favorite character.
Yes. I hoping she would win the
whole Squid I Game. Thoroughly enjoyed her development as a character throughout the series. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was brilliant. And I thought that the way she went out was totally not fair.
No, like, not fair.
She won the game. They blew up the bridge. They should have given her treatment.
So you know, stupid.
Fairness is such an important part of this game that all the players are on equal footing.
Yeah.
You know, then why would they not have treated her?
Exactly.
For the ginormous stabbing that she suffered.
Because of them. Even though she won the game. So stupid. Yeah, that was
so
dumb.
Stupid. Yeah.
Ridiculous. I liked the main character, Gi-hun.
Yes.
I really liked him, even though he was like a really shitty son and father.
He was. Yeah. But I did like that they kind of gave an explanation for why he was the way he was.
Yeah. He was just so awful to his mom all the time. I was like, can you stop yelling at her so much? She's literally providing a roof over your head. But anyway, but his like overall positive outlook on life and being one of the more positive people in the game, playing the games and stuff. I don't know. I thought that was just such a fun, interesting contrast where he's like still trying to be optimistic about this all. And they're like, guys, let's form a team. This will be great. We're going to get out of here together. Like, okay, bro. I don't know.
It's like, have you not been paying attention to how these games work?
it was kind of endearing.
It was kind of endearing. And if anything, those circumstances brought out the best in him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what they were trying to show is that deep down, life had made him and the world at large had made him into a shitty person, but his core, it was not that. Yeah. And being in the Squid Games allowed that core to come out again without the pressures and realities of his life, basically. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a interesting commentary there.
Yeah, for sure. And then,
you know, we have to talk about, I'm so bad with names, and the fact that these are Korean names is not helping my ability with names.
Wow.
The friend.
Sungwoo or Ali Sungwoo. Abdul. Okay, we need to talk Sungwoo. About Ali and Sungwoo. Yeah.
We do need to talk about them.
Bitch ass.
He is a bitch ass, but I need to talk about Sungwoo first.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Because I feel like we got to touch on the three finalists.
Yes.
All right. We touched on two of them.
We have to talk about Ali Abdul, okay? Our fellow countrymen. And we have to talk about him.
Of course. Of course. But before that, Sungwoo, all right? He, I feel like, embodied this particular kind of investment banker who treats the world as a casino and is so entitled.
Yes.
All right. So entitled because of what he does, where he's just playing with people's money. He feels so entitled in the games, even, you know, he was like, that big piggy bank is mine.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way it's not going to be mine. I deserve it. I am entitled to this.
Yeah.
And he really embodied and typified this stereotype, I think, but not just the bad personality types that exist or that are stereotyped in that industry, but also how much of that world is purely based on luck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I've complained about to many people is that I really think that the higher up you go in the financial systems that exist in today's world, you know, when you get into investment banking, futures and commodities trading, future commodities trading, the mortgage refinancing and buying and selling of debts, you know, the higher up you get. And when I say higher up, I mean, further and further away from the basic idea of capitalism of, I have made a thing, you give me money, I give you thing, and then I take money and go buy thing from other people.
Right.
You know, it, the higher up you get, the more and more it is like gambling, a legalized form of gambling, in my opinion. You know, he typified that as well, not just the bad personality aspects, but also the bad reality of working in that industry, where a few bad bets and now you are destitute, gonna end up in jail, and your mom's shop is gonna get repossessed.
And her home, apparently.
And her home and everything.
That's very true. I don't really have anything else to add besides I thought he was an asshole.
All right, I think that was great.
I mean, it was just so, everything about him was just very sad. It was very sad, and he was just so desperate in the end. And like, he like sacrifices himself, sort of, like,
not really.
Yeah, not really. I mean, he just was like, stabbed himself, but like,
no, he didn't. He didn't. He stuck by the principles he had stood by. Stuck. I totally intended that pun. He stuck by the principles he had been espousing since the beginning of the games, which was that we are going through this hellhole. One of us needs to actually win the money.
Yeah.
If we go through all of this and nobody wins and we quit the game, we lose out on the money because it's only going to go to the families of the people who died.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And in the end, you're right. He stuck to his principles and he was just like, money is more important than a person's life. Yeah.
You said stuck to as well.
Yes, come on. Point is, that's what, you know, that's what he did. So
he is the one person, I think, on that show who very clearly did not grow as a person or as a human being.
Yeah, he was very much the same throughout, and it was just sort of revealed to us through the peeling back of layers, who is this guy really. Yeah, I love that scene between him and Gian at the very end, you know, when Gian's like pissed at him and he's like, how could you just like be like this and whatever. And Sungwoo's like, you're just an incompetent idiot who ended up in this hellhole, blah, blah.
You don't even know you're in trouble until you're in the middle of it.
Yeah. And then I love Gian's response, which was like, yeah, fine, sure. Okay. I'm an incompetent idiot, but why are you a genius and rolling around in this shithole with me? Like, how did you end up here? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah.
And actually, that in and of itself, I thought was an amazing statement on commentary on society. On the one hand, there's a part of me that wants to say South Korean society, but I think that we can agree that it's a lot broader than that.
Yeah.
Where it is that the way the world is, anybody can end up at the bottom, no matter what their station in life.
Yeah.
Because bad times can hit you no matter what, no matter how smart you are, no matter how rich you are.
No matter who you are.
No matter who you are.
Yeah.
You can, and you can still end up losing it all.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And now we have to talk about the person that Sungwoo horribly betrayed in the marbles game. Ali Abdul.
Ali First Abdul. Of all,
I am just so impressed there is a Pakistani actor, although maybe he's Indian, the actual actor. Anyway, I am very impressed there's a South Asian actor who speaks fluent Korean and was just in this show, and I loved it. It was great. Yeah. It was very random and unexpected, and totally thought he was going to die in like the first episode or something.
Oh, yeah. But no. I thought he was going to die at the end of Red Light, Green Light.
The way they introduced him in Red Light, Green Light, when they just, you know, Gi-hun's about to fall, and he just grabs him and you're like, holy shit. This is amazing.
Badass.
Yeah.
Badass.
So cool. Yeah. Everything about him. I was just like, oh man, Ali, this is great. And I know what you're going to say, but let me make my point first. I also wanted to just talk about, just mention very quickly that my absolute, absolute favorite scene in the entire show was the tug of war scene. It was so good. And the way they had like the old man's voice overlaying, like the, like saying what the strategy is as they're doing it. He's like, you got to stand with your feet apart like this. The rope has to be under your armpit. You know, the, like this guy is the kind of person who leads in the front, and then followed by this person. And then you have the anchor, you know, the strongest, you know, in the back. And I kind of liked that, like, Ali was there. He was the anchor of the whole thing. And that's how it just kind of felt in the show. And it really made me sad that he died. And I want him and Sae-byeok, like, I wish they could have stayed alive somehow so we could see them again in season two.
Right.
And
I really didn't like how Ali died, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is one thing out of many that upset me about his character, is that he didn't have any agency in how he died. He didn't make a sacrifice. He didn't proactively do something where he lost. Mm-hmm. He was tricked into losing, basically.
Yeah.
And that, it made me really wonder. He struck me as a token character.
Yeah.
And in the sense that it seemed like he was trying to fill a lot of stereotypes that are not necessarily true.
Yeah.
His sort of good naturedness and naivete was to the point of non-believability, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't actually seem to embody a real person, you know?
You're right. He was definitely tokenized, which was not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While I appreciated that there was a South Asian character and a Muslim character at that in the show, I did not appreciate the lack of depth to his character.
Yeah. I also just thought, I was like, really, you've got 456 people here and you have one brown guy? you would think he played a laborer in South Korea, right? Working in like some sort of metal.
But factory. A migrant, but very migrant, specifically yes. a migrant.
A laborer. Migrant laborer, right?
Yeah.
And Ali, that we find out in the show, Ali has not been paid any of his wages for like 6 months, something insane like that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why he's so desperate, and that's why he's in Squid Game. Now, I'm pretty sure the same exact thing is happening to all the other migrant laborers in that factory that he's working in. So like, why aren't more migrant laborers taking part in Squid Game? Why aren't, you'd think they just recruit all of them. Like, I don't know.
I'm saying because, like, people would notice.
No, but like, also, I mean, like, you wouldn't notice Koreans going missing, you know? It's just,
well, I mean, the thing is, it's like they keep selecting like one person from each sort of section of society.
I'm saying like there's got to be more than one factory, you know? So I just think that was another way of just tokenizing him even more. Like, oh, you're literally the one brown guy here. Like, out of 456 people. Great job.
I mean, to be fair, every time I hear about a lack of diversity in movies or representations in other countries, I'm constantly reminded, I have to constantly remind myself how much more homogenous ethnically other countries are compared to especially the United States. It's a bigger problem in the US because we're not a homogenous country in that same way. To be Korean is not just about, to be an American means having a particular citizenship, all right, and loyalties to the country.
Right.
To be French or to be Korean or to be Japanese is not just about your ID card. It is also about your genetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I, while I appreciated that they used Ali as a, as to show the bad aspects of the migrant worker class in South Korea.
Yeah.
The exploited migrant worker class in South Korea. I did not appreciate that that was all there was to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was there. He didn't really have any other defining qualities.
Yeah.
He was just like the innocent, naive migrant worker who came to Korea hoping to make a little bit of money to help feed his family.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Right.
And that was it. He had no other motivations, no other ambitions, no other personality traits. And I think that's why it kind of, his character kind of ticked me off.
Yeah.
You know, no, I was fair. No, yeah. People are more than that. People are more than what they are showing this guy to be.
Yeah. I think I was just pretty much the whole time just blown away that a brown guy was speaking Korean. Like, I was like, wow, that's awesome. Like, tell me your life story, like the actual actor's story. So,
that's fair.
But
that's fair.
I do have to say one thing I am happy about. This is something that has just been bothering me for years. Mm-hmm. And this is 100% a problem with American TV shows and movies and stuff. But whenever there is a South Asian character on screen, they always give him or her half of a Desi name, half of a South Asian name. It's always like Kelly Kapoor or like, you know, from The Office, you know, that's Mindy Kaling's character. Or I don't know if you saw the movie that Riz Ahmed was in last year. It's called Sound of Metal. It was really, really good. He plays a drummer who's slowly becoming deaf. His character's name was Ruben, like a fucking Ruben sandwich. And I was like, can you at least just throw in a line saying this is a nickname, it's not his real name, like what? And this character, they named him Ali Abdul. Thank you for giving him a first and last brown sounding name. Okay, like it just bothers me.
So I ironically I was thinking of the show Ted Lasso, and
yes,
the
him
actor
too.
No, the actor, the character's name, the character's name is Nate.
Yes.
The actor who plays him, his name is Nick Muhammad.
Fine. Whatever. Okay. My point
saying,
is, I know.
It happens in the real world.
It's the same thing. Same with the guy who, the brown guy from Community. What's his name? Abed. Who plays Community. Who's in Community. His like first name, that actor's first name is Danny. You know, like I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
People, South Asians with Western sounding first names don't exist, but they do it almost every time. And I do. And unless the TV show or movie is about their identity or their culture, then they don't give them a brown sounding first name.
That's true.
And it's very annoying. I think it's like, honestly, I think it's a form of erasure. So, and making people invisible in that way and whatever. That's my little spiel about that. But so
you know,
I was very happy to see that his name was.
I am reminded of this kid I knew in middle school. Mm-hmm. His mom was Irish and his dad was Bengali. So he had the most Irish sounding first name and the most Bengali sounding last name. It was very confusing.
That's awesome though. Like that's great. Good for him. So
I'm just saying it exists in the real world. The
only reason I just said that, Amon, are you even listening to me? I just said that. I said I'm not saying people like that don't exist. Why are they always doing South Asian characters in movies and TV?
I know. Yeah, I know. I was just reminded of that.
If you paid attention to what I was saying.
I was paying attention. I was just reminded of this person I knew way back in the day.
That's great. Whatever. Okay. Hope he's doing well. Anyway.
I hope so too.
Okay.
He was a nice guy.
Any last thoughts about Squid Game?
Yes. Gyun is still a shitty dad because at the very, very end of Squid Game, he decides to not get on the goddamn plane.
It was so stupid. I'm like, bro, just take a vacation. Okay. Like, just go on. You deserve it. You went through a lot. Take on
the man.
Go see your daughter. Go see your daughter. And also, I found it kind of ridiculous that he wasted an entire year not.
Yeah.
Trying to see his daughter, even though he had shit tons of money. Didn't even try finding Cybyuk's brother. Let him just wallow and squalor at this children's home.
That is a lot of PTSD to go through.
What is? For who? What?
For Gyeon to go through Squid Game. And
But like a whole year, bro. You didn't do anything.
Hey, PTSD is serious.
Fine. This is true. I'm not trying to minimize that.
And he looked at everything in his bank account as blood money. Every single won in his bank account was directly due to the death of somebody random, which is also an excellent representation of capitalism, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Look at that. Though dyeing his hair red thing, I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess.
I didn't understand it.
I wasn't really feeling it.
I'm sure it would have been more significant if I was Korean, but I didn't. I didn't get it.
Someone else was saying to me, it's like he's free now to do whatever he wants. It's like a symbolizing his liberation or something. Huh. I was like, I don't know, but anyway,
okay.
It was interesting.
All right.
Cool. And
all right. On that note,
as always, thank you for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we will catch you next time.